Good evening, I'm Peter Jennings here in Los Angeles, awaiting the start of the second and final presidential debate between Michael Dukakis and George Bush. As you may know, the League of Women Voters withdrew their sponsorship of this debate, citing unreasonable demands made by both campaigns. In fact, one of the conditions made by the Bush camp requires us to tell you what's on other channels. On HBO, The Sensuous Nurse, starring Ursula Andress and Udo Kier. On Showtime, the making of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, an entertaining look at the summer's blockbuster hit. And on ESPN, a repeat of the LSU-Georgia Tech Southeast Conference showdown. And on the other hand, the Democrats have asked us to announce that C-SPAN will be rerunning the Benson Quayle debate at 4 a.m. Eastern time. Well, the debate is about to get started, so let's go down to our moderator, Diane Sawyer. Diane?
Thank you, Peter. Good evening. I'm Diane Sawyer of 60 Minutes. Welcome to the second presidential debate between Vice President George Bush and Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis. Gentlemen. Questioners are Elizabeth Dowd of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Sam Donaldson of ABC News, and syndicated columnist Carl Ruin. The first question goes to Governor Dukakis and will be asked by Elizabeth Dowd.
Governor Dukakis! Governor Dukakis! Governor Dukakis!
Sam!
Your leadership style has been described as being technocratic, cool, and emotionally dead. Even your closest advisors admit that sometimes you're distant and aloof, a bit of a cold fish. Pundits are saying that one of the reasons you trail in the polls is that you're uninspiring and seem to be devoid of passion.
Sam, what's the question?
Well, I guess the question, Governor, is do you think you have the necessary passion to lead this country?
Well, Sam, that kind of aspersion on my character quite frankly makes me, well, there's no other word for it. Enraged. Enraged. Maybe I shouldn't say that in the heat of the moment, but I can't control myself, and, well, I apologize for flying off the handle. I'm just sorry my kids had to see me like this.
Mr. Bush, rebuttal.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Vice President.
All right, Sam, Sam, all right.
Do you really think that SDI or Star Wars will work? I mean, do you really think it's possible to create a shield that would prevent any or all nuclear missiles from striking the United States?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, Sam, because tonight I can reveal something that has just been declassified. The key to SDI, the whole concept, is a time machine. Yes, it's a beautiful idea. Let's just say the Soviets launch a surprise attack and few of their missiles get through our network of particle beam lasers. That's when we use the time machine. We go back in time before the surprise attack. It's clean. It'll save our kids. In the event of a Russian first strike, now, who could be against that?
Governor Dukakis?
Well, if such a time machine were possible, I'd like the Vice President to explain why we haven't already been visited by time travelers from the future. Now, you can't tell me that responsible members of a future government of the United States wouldn't, with access to a time machine, come back and reverse some of the mistakes, the cockamamie mistakes, made by this administration. Of course they would. Of course they would. This idea is ridiculous. Spending billions and billions on a time machine whose very existence defies logic is in my mind, well, lunacy.
Well, Mr. Massachusetts, Mr. Harvard Yard Brainiac, you may prove to yourself that it's impossible, but I think I'm like most Americans who'd rather see a time machine with an American flag on the side and not a hammer and a sickle.
your reaction because it will only take away from your candidate's time. Oh. That was really uncalled for. Okay. Sam Donaldson, a question for Governor Dukakis.
Vice President Bush. Now, there are millions of homeless in this country, children who go hungry and lacking other basic necessities. How would a Bush administration achieve your stated goal of making this a kinder, a gentler nation?
Well, Sam, that's a big problem. And unfortunately, in a format of these debates, it makes it very hard to give a complete answer. If I had more time, I could spell out in greater detail. But I'm afraid, unfortunately, in a short answer session like this, all I can say is, we are on the track. We're getting the job done. We can do more, but let's stay the course. 1,000 points of light. Well, unfortunately, I see my time is up.
Mr. Vice President, you still have a minute 20.
What? Well, no, Diane, I must have spoken for at least 2 minutes. Thank you.
No, just 40 seconds, Mr. Vice President.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must have used up that time just in talking about it right now.
No, Mr. Vice President, it's not being counted against you.
Well, I just wouldn't want to take up some of Governor Dukakis' time.
It won't. It will come out in the post-debate commentary.
Do you think that's a good idea?
You still have a minute 20, Mr. Vice President.
Well, sure, more has to be done, but the program is in place. Make no mistake, we are doing the job. So let's just stay the course and keep on track. Stay the course.
You still have 50 seconds left, Mr. Vice President.
Well, let me just sum up. On track, stay the course, 1,000 points of light. Stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Governor Dukakis, rebuttal.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
And now to Carl Rowan with a question for Vice President Bush.
Mr. Vice President!
Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Mr. Vice President, wouldn't you agree that a lot of people, after watching Dan Quayle's performance last Wednesday, are quite frankly worried about his ability to step into the job of president should something, God forbid, happen to you?
Well, Sam, let me just answer the question this way. I'm in perfect health. I jog every day. The pulse rate is 43 beats a minute. The ticker feels fine. And I pledge that I will spend more than any president ever has on Secret Service protection. I will go down in history as the president in the bulletproof bubble, guys. Carl Rowan, will you do the honors, please? Now, go ahead. Go ahead, Carl. Aim at my heart. Go ahead. You see, there's nothing to worry about. Thank you, Carl.
Gentlemen, let's go to your closing statements. Governor Dukakis, you're first.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the son of Greek immigrants. My parents were little people. Little swarthy people. So I understand the American dream. Yo comprende el dremo de estar dulce. Je comprends le rêve de les États-Unis. Can lo echad chabibti machazed America. Ladies and gentlemen, the question you have to ask yourself on November 8th is whose judgment do you trust? Do you trust the judgment of a man who traded arms to the Ayatollah and used that money to fund an illegal war in Central America? Or do you trust a son of Greek immigrants who can think and talk in complete sentences? Ladies and gentlemen, I think the choice is obvious. Thank you very much.
Vice President Bush.
Well, Diane, let me answer some of that. First of all, I didn't know the Iran arms sale was going to the Contras. I was told the money was going for the bombing of abortion clinics. Now, this election is about the future. Yes, we want change, but we are the change. Do we want to, you know, do we want to go back to the malaise days of Jimmy Carter? I don't think so. So once again, stay the course. We're on track. 1,000 points of light. Thank you very much.
And thank you, gentlemen, for sharing this debate with the American public. I'm Diane Sawyer saying good night.
Well, thank you, Diane. Diane Sawyer, our correspondent. Well, this concludes the debate, and with me is my colleague, David Brinkley, a veteran of many such events. David, what were your impressions?
Well, what we saw were two men doing everything they could to avoid saying what they would do if elected. Because they know if they did, we wouldn't elect them. But that's nothing new, of course, Peter. Every president from Washington to Ronald Reagan has been either a liar or a fool, and usually both.
Well, David, throughout your career, you've been known for your cynicism, but certainly that you haven't lost that much faith in the presidency.
Well, Peter, as I get older, I find I've lost faith in a good many things. Country, family, religion, the love of a man for a woman. I reached a point where it's a struggle just to get up in the morning, to continue to plod through a dreary, nasty, brutal life of terrible desperation, at the end of which we're all just food for maggots.
Food for maggots, indeed. Well, thank you, David. We have someone with us who will undoubtedly have a more upbeat interpretation of tonight's debate. George Bush's running mate, Senator Dan Quayle. Senator? How did George Bush do tonight?
Oh, he was great. I'm really proud to be his running mate. He was just great. He was presidential. He's gonna be a great president, and I'll be the vice president. And that'll be great. So let's go get him.
Yes, I'm sure that will be great, Senator. I'd like to ask you a question about last Wednesday's debate. Why did you have so much trouble answering the questions about what you would do in the event you became president?
Gee, gosh, sure.
Come on, honey, let's go.
My wife!
The Senator and Mrs. Dan Quayle. Well, on that note, I guess it's time for all of us to go. For David Brinkley, I'm Peter Jennings. Thank you for joining us.
System until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had to take a squirt. I mean, it's been a few hours, you know?
Okay.
And so how is it under the arms, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Beautiful, it's a keeper. Let's wrap it up, huh? What do you say?
What do you say, sweetheart?
I don't know.
What don't you know? He's tried on every suit in the store. Let's make a move, baby. Come on.
Turn around here. Will you stand up straight?
It's fucking exquisite. Cash your charge.
There's, honey, turn around. Let me see this. No. Stand up straight.
Honey, while we're young, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's really you. You know, there's something about this suit. It's just not really flattering.
Flattering? You want flattering, tell him to drop a couple tons, the fat bastard. You know what I'm saying?
Who's he calling a fat bastard?
You! You're a fat bastard!
Hey, I mean, what's the difference?
Anything like that in get out of my store already, huh? Who needs you in here? Eat a carrot, you fat tub of shit!
I'm never coming back here
again!
Don't
do me no favors, you fat bastard! That little outburst cost me my job.
Swans? Is this like a fetish? It's something like maybe we need to devote some time to.
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting. Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. You know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea of what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, you'd probably give me a syllabus of your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. but you can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love, you'd probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Who could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel. To have that love for her be there forever. Through anything. Through cancer. And you wouldn't know about sleeping, sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months, holding her hand. Because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss, because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much. I look at you, I don't see an intelligent, confident man. I see a cocky, scared, shitless kid. But you're a genius, Will. No one denies that. No one could possibly understand the depths of you. But you presume to know everything about me because you saw a painting of mine. You ripped my fucking life apart. You're an orphan, right? Do you think I'd know the first thing about how hard your life has been, how you feel, who you are? Because I read Oliver Twist. Does that encapsulate you? Personally, I don't give a shit about all that, because you know what? I can't learn anything from you. I can't read in some fucking book. Unless you want to talk about you, who you are. And I'm fascinated. I'm in. But you don't want to do that, do you, Sport? You're terrified of what you might say. Your move, Chief.
So mean. won't let me drive nothing. I just old beat up raggedy team. Hey, I went to my, oh yeah, boys, and I went to bed. So sad, so sad. Yeah, I went to my, oh yeah, boys, and I went to bed. Couldn't find a mule. Ooh, yeah, fellas, will you show the well? Baby, no more stockings. Oh yeah, boy, put the scene behind. Fell away, the scene behind.
Thank you. Joe seems to enjoy it. I think. Would you believe this if you hadn't seen it?
Oh, Well, this is an exciting day for us here in the studio because we have a stage star with us. This is Donna Porter with us on the show, and she's here to talk about life in the theater. And Donna, I don't know if you know this, but our own news guy, Ross Buckingham, actually has some theater experience as well. Don't you, Ross? Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. I once did some summer stock.
I know you're very, very proud of your summer stock experience. When you went on stage the very first time, did you ever get nervous?
No, I was quite comfortable.
I see. It's very interesting.
Then, now, in 1926, Donna, General Sarnoff formed NBC Radio, America's first network.
I guess you could say I was a little nervous the first time I was ever on stage with the 12-inch Kielbasa.
Now, why is that?
Can I show you?
Sure. I think we'd like to see what you have. Wouldn't we like to see?
Right now, you're getting a look at a live broadcast of the Howard Stern Show.
That's about 13 inches.
And you're licking whipped cream off a kielbasa, and you're putting it in your mouth, and you're jamming the kielbasa all the way down your throat. Oh my God! Look at that. The entire kielbasa is going down. She has swallowed an entire 13-inch kielbasa. Look at that. A full 13 inches, ladies and gentlemen. Wow! You gotta love that, folks. You gotta love it, don't you, Ross? Oh. Ross Buckingham, have you ever seen a woman swallow an entire 13-inch kielbasa? When you were in the theater, did you ever work with a kielbasa?
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, I couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Time to hesitate is through. The time to wallow in the mire. Trying to weaken only lose. And I love to come up in no pie. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Thank you.
something I have to tell you, baby. Bring it way on down. I lay it on the line. I've been told, yeah, we gotta close, yeah. Now we're willing to pick up the extra bread for another hour's worth of music. Just don't let them chase us out. Just getting started, baby. Just getting started, girl. Just getting warmed up now. Yeah, all right. When this song is over, don't leave, because we got about an hour's left in us. Come on. Continue playing, you guys are gonna have to sit down just where you are, right? Hey, listen. If our friend John Sebastian's out there somewhere in the audience, I wish you'd come up and join us, man, and jam a while. All right.
Yeah.
Among all you people, has anybody got an A harp out there? Anybody? This is, you know. Or a D harp. D harp. Come on, man. Get it up here. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this was one secret I didn't want to unveil, but hey, dig this. You see that little table there with lights on it and everything? Right, if you push that over, we're trying to do a live concert here in Detroit. If you push that over, we blow the whole thing. Stay back, all right? We might get something good, man. Well, we're all in the cosmic movie, you know that. That means the day you die, you gotta watch your whole life recurring eternally, forever, right? In CinemaScope, 3D. So you better have some good incidents happening in there. And a fitting climax.